What a joy it is to be here this morning to open the Word of God and read what Jesus said. And that's what I'd like for us to do now. Open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke chapter 12 and beginning at verse 13. Luke chapter 12 beginning at verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he, that is Jesus, said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, that's his disciples, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In verse 13, we see what might be termed the desire of man. Someone said, that is, a person in the company, said to Jesus, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus tells us that this is not what he came to do, to make everyone play fair. This man had a concern. He obviously had a father who had left property, and his brother had not divided him what he thought was his rightful portion of that property. And he perceived that Jesus was a man of God, a man of distinction, a man who understood. And he said, Make my brother give to me what I'm due. And Jesus turned to him and he said, I'm not your judge. I'm not a man who has come to set this kind of problem aside and solve it. This isn't why I came to this earth, to divide property or to judge civil issues or even religious issues such as you have brought up. And evidently Jesus looked at this man and Jesus understood his heart, just like he does today. We don't have to say anything in order for the Lord to know what we're thinking about. Jesus Christ looked at this man, and he looked down deep inside his very being, and he saw the reason for this request. He saw covetousness in this man's life. He saw it in his heart. That's why he had said, "Make my brother give me my part of the inheritance." And Jesus took this particular situation and said to his disciples, "Take heed," that is, be very careful, be cautious, and beware of covetousness. And then Jesus spoke a parable to illustrate and to give these people an opportunity to look at a man who practiced a covetous life. He spoke to his disciples after this man had brought up the issue of an inheritance, and Jesus saw that it was a covetous person. He spoke to him and he said, "Now look, you people beware of covetous. Take heed." That is, listen to me, because I have something to teach you, because I want you to avoid at every possible, in every possible way, I want you to avoid covetousness. And Jesus spoke a principle by which the kingdom of God is to operate. He said, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." And this word "consisteth" is a word that means to be. It is the ordinary verb form that means to exist. Now think for a minute what Jesus meant when he said, "For a man's life," or that is our being, our existence upon this world, is not simply to accumulate an abundance of things. To be, Jesus said, doesn't mean that we accumulate. That our reason for being is not to accumulate and to accumulate only. It is another and deeper and far-reaching purpose that we serve. For the abundance of the things that a man possesses are not a measure of his reason for existence on this earth. Now let's look at the parable. Let's look at this man around whom Jesus chose to illustrate the truth that he had just spoken. Now he said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You'll notice that he begins with the possessions rather than with the man. You know why? Because that's the way this man lived his life. Jesus didn't say a certain man, but he says the ground of a certain man, because that's the order of the man's priorities. That's his life. That's what he was interested in. The ground of a certain man. And then the Bible tells us that it was successful. The man's success is described. That the ground brought forth plentifully. And it created a dilemma in the man's life. And he said, "What am I going to do?" Well, I know what I'm going to do. And he revealed his plans. And you'll notice that in all of the parable, he never includes anyone else other than himself. He doesn't say, "I'm going to build a home, and my wife and I, who've lived together all these years, we're going to spend some time together, and I'm going to take some of that which I've accumulated and help my children, and I'm going to help my church that has been in my life." And he just always said "me" and "my," and all the pronouns are possessive and all the pronouns are singular. They're my barns and my ground and my fruits. All of them are in that particular form. possessive, their mind. It doesn't include anyone else. No one else in his life is included. My barns, my fruit. Very selfish man, and an example of covetousness. Now, when he found himself bearing more fruit on his ground than he could store, he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He had some plans. It didn't include other people. The Bible tells us that he said then to his soul, that is himself literally, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That was his philosophy of life. Me, my, mine. Eat and drink. Now notice those words. Eat, drink, take thine ease, be merry. Isn't this really the philosophy of the world, the attitude of the world? Isn't it really what most people aim their lives at? And a life of ease, a life of eating, a life of drinking, a life of merriment. But the man died. The Bible tells us that God knew what was going on, and God called him a fool and said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then there's a rather ironic question asked. Then whose things, or who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You're going to die. This night it's not going to be a lingering death. It's evidently going to be a sudden death. You think you've got it made. You think everything is in order. But this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then a very ironic question is asked. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Someone else is going to eat the food that you've stored. Someone else is going to use the barns that you have built. Someone else is going to have the life of ease that you planned for yourself. Someone else is going to use your earnings that you have coveted and that you have laid up for yourself. Someone else is going to make merry with that substance. Now Jesus said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does he mean, so is he? He means in the like fashion, in the like manner, is a person who lays up treasure for himself, that practices a covetous life. You're like this person, Jesus said. Every person who lives their life seeking an abundance of things, that which can be eaten, that which can be drunk, that which can be worn on the body, that which can be lived in, that which can be stored. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and does not possess wealth in the sight of God. Now, Jesus has spoken this parable to show the effect and the final end of a covetous life. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus says to his disciples, therefore I say unto you. Now, he's going to make additional application of this parabolic truth. Therefore, that is predicated upon the parable that I have spoken, predicated upon this demand or request that this person has made of me to divide or to make his brother divide the inheritance with him, predicated upon that, therefore, now look at verse 33 for just a minute. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. You know, Jesus, according to these scriptures, is now going to challenge his disciples to not be concerned and worried about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear. That is, overly concerned. Because he realizes that a covetous attitude will keep them from doing what they must do as his disciples. So Jesus is making an application to his disciples. He's making an application to you and me. And he's saying, therefore, because of all these things I have said, take no thought for your life. That is, do not become overly concerned about what you will eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You know, there's a thought here that really, if it is true, and I'm convinced it is, there's a thought here that if it is true, is a tremendous rebuke to me and to you as God's people. Jesus seems to say in this statement that he made about the covetous person, and he seems to say in this warning of beware of covetousness, as he speaks to his followers, that covetousness is the root and ground of anxiety. That is, that covetousness is the root and ground of worry. Now you think with me, why do we worry? Well, there's something we don't want to lose. And we become covetous. See, it doesn't have to be money. Covetousness is just an inordinate or an over-concern for something. It is a willingness to do anything, honest or dishonest, to get that which we have our eyes upon, to obtain or to keep that which we feel is ours, like the brother who had an inheritance, or the man who had all these fruits that he has, his land had grown and he wanted to keep them. He didn't say, well, I've got more than I can use. I believe I'll give some to the poor widows and to the orphans, the children, which his religion specifically taught him to do. But this man becomes anxious about his increase. He wants to keep it. And he makes plans to keep it and use it upon himself. And therefore, his covetousness became the ground of his worry. Why do we sometimes get really upset about losing our jobs? Or really upset about our children and one of them may be leaving or are sick or moving away? Why is it that we worry ourselves sick? Now, can we always say that it is love? Or is it that all of us want ours? I mean, whatever it is ours, we want it. And we want it left alone by man, and we want it left alone by God. Lord, this is my savings account. I work for this money, and I put this money in here, and it's mine. And I don't want a man bothering it. And Lord, I don't want you to create a situation in my life where I have to spend it. All I want you to do is just let me keep on making money so I can put more in the savings account. Then I can buy another house and I can rent it out and I can make some more money to put in my savings account so that I can buy another house and I can have more money in my savings account and I can accumulate more. And God, you keep your nose out of it, and man, you keep your nose out of it. Isn't that covetousness? What do we worry about? You know, I'll tell you what kind of person you are if you'll tell me what you worry about. I mean, you say, well, I'm worried. I'm really worried. About what? I mean, I'm just sick. What are you sick about? What is your stomach all tied up in knots about? So I tell you, it's my neighbor's lost. It's the church. It's not growing like I really think it ought to, and I'm going to get out and start visiting. What has you all knotted up inside? What do you happen to lie awake at night and suddenly wake up at night rather than begin to think about? What is it that occupies your thoughts and your energy and your time? If you'll tell me what does, I'll tell you what kind of person you are. Covetousness seems to be the reason that we worry. It is concern and over-concern for the things that seemed to create worry. Verses 22 and 23, Jesus said, the life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Now he said, consider the ravens. Now what he's trying to get us to do is to look at some arguments against worry over things. Now he's talking to his disciples. And he knows that they're going to have to forsake everything they have, and they're going to have to simply root up their lives. And he's trying to prepare these people for this challenge that he's going to give them. And he said, look at the birds. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. You know, it's rather strange that he picked out the ravens and then mentioned that they don't build barns like this rich fool did that I just told you about. God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Then human physiology. Which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? You know, I imagine that Jesus knew that in the mind of almost every person, you know, they worry about, you know, how tall or how short I am. And Jesus said, now you people are always worried about whether you're going to grow up to be tall or whatever. That is about your stature. That's what he says. He said, how can a man worry himself into being taller than he is? He said that if you're not able to do this, which is a very little thing, least, literally, unimportant thing, then why do you think you can worry and bring about the important things of life by worrying about them? Then you'll notice that he mentions the plant world in verses 27 and 28. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, now notice how temporary it is, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? The birds don't build barns, and yet they have enough to eat. The plants do not toil nor spin, and yet they're arrayed in beautiful clothing, and they're just here temporarily. That is, they are here today, and tomorrow they're collected and burned as trash. And Jesus said, how much more then will God care for you than for these transitory and temporary things? Now Jesus in verse 29 seeks to put things into perspective. And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Now that phrase, neither be ye of doubtful mind, translates literally, Do not let these things harass you. Do not let the desire for things become so important in your life that they're like a mad dog or a bad dog sniping and biting and clicking its teeth at your heels. You know, if you're in a situation where there's a dog that's just right at your heels, barking and trying to bite, that's about all you've got your mind on. You know, I've never seen anyone just ignore that and let, you know, the dog just bite on your foot and you say, now I'd like to, you know, a salesman comes to the door and the Doberman gets on his foot. He doesn't usually go through with his story. Early in my ministry, I was in a home visiting. There was about a 3-year-old boy in the home, and he had a hammer. And I was standing talking to his mother, and whereupon she said to him, you know, Junior, don't hit the nice man on the foot. He was. And I wasn't really interested in witnessing to her. I had the little boy and the hammer on my mind. You know, in life, if things, that is, clothes, what we put on the body, what we put in the stomach, if these things are the things that are gnawing at our feet, that are distracting us from the greater work to be done, then that has put us in a covetous situation. We're more occupied and worried and concerned about what's going on down here than what's going on up there. We've become worldly minded. Don't allow yourselves to become so caught up in eating and clothing your body that you become ineffective in serving the Lord. And Jesus said in verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. You remember we talked about the wisdom of the world last Sunday morning? What was the wisdom of the world? Well, it was this guy who could pull this slick little trick and cheat his boss out of about half of what was owed to him by his creditors. And we studied how the world would admire a man who's able to turn that kind of trick. The guy who can not be detected by his boss and continually tap the till, take a few items out and sell them on the side and make some money. It's kind of an ironic situation. I was talking to a fellow about some building material, and I said, boy, I know where there's some building material that I've been told. I hadn't been there myself now, but I'm told that you've got some really fantastic buys on some building material. The fellow kind of laughed and said, well, if you go by any, make sure that there's not a black and white there. And I said, what? And he said, I mean a unit of the police force. And he said, oh, you mean a... He said, because they might nab you as you get away. He said, because this guy works at a lumber yard. And he evidently is stealing it and selling it. I don't want to buy any of it. But you know, I imagine people admire him. He's getting by with it. That's the wisdom of the world. That's the way the world thinks. And Jesus mentioned this, but he said, your Father knows that you have need of these things. How many of us are just all the time continually unaware of the basic needs of our children? I don't know a parent anywhere in this building that says, you know, I don't have the least idea that my children will ever need clothing. I have no idea that they'll ever need to eat. I just don't know how to handle that situation. We have enough knowledge of our own children to know that they must eat and they must have clothing. And God says, I know that you need these things. I am conscious that you need these things. But he said, put first things first. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. Don't be covetous. Don't be like the fool. And then there will be the addition of things. And all these things shall be added unto you. How many people think that if they were to get right with God, that God would strip them of everything they possess? It is not God's will to strip us of the necessary items of life. That isn't what Jesus is teaching at all. He's saying we ought not to be so concerned with just the ordinary physical things of life that we can't get involved in the spiritual things of life. And he's warning his disciples of that possibility. And he said, all these things shall be added, not taken, not subtracted, but all these things shall be added unto you. Now notice, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen, God is going to give us the business. You say, well, what do you mean, brother? I mean, God has already willed it. God has already decreed it. God has already said it. God has already written it. You're saying, what's going to happen to us if we give up the things, that is, if we give up coveting the things of life and direct our attention to the work of God, what will happen to us? We'll lose everything. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, little flock. It is the Father's will to give you the kingdom of God.